Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Glory to God. Can you please sit up in heavenly places? Amen. Are you excited to be in church tonight? I'll need us to pay attention so that we'll just flow through tonight. I want to share a few line of thoughts concerning walking in the Spirit. This is our year of the Spirit, so from time to time, I'll share different things relating to the Spirit. We have established that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the eternal Godhead. He's co-equal with God, co-eternal with God. We have established that the Holy Spirit is God Himself. And it is important that we get to know that when Jesus was raised to life, this is the Easter week, and Jesus Christ already told his disciples, "It is expedient that I will go. If I do not go, I will not send you another comforter." So I have to go so that I will send another comforter, that he will abide with you forever. And he says it's the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of truth. Are we here together? So this Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, was released as the promise of the Father to mankind here on earth. He is the one that lives inside of you now that you are born again. Are we here together? He lives inside every born again Christian. He lives inside of you. And he's not in a hurry to leave you. Like in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will have to depart from the people. But now he's not. The Bible says he has come to live inside of us. And as a matter of fact, it says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Jesus being with us always doesn't mean that he's here physically. He's here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the New Testament believer has the operations of the Spirit in two dimensions: the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. And I said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you like he came upon Samson, he makes you do things according to the will of God. The uponness of the Spirit is not for you to act in an incessant manner, just do the things that you like. No, he wants you to act based on the counsel of God. So I said, whenever the Spirit of might comes upon a person, one of the things that he does is that he leads you to carry out an activity that is within the will, the plan, and the purpose of God. Mary, the Spirit of the Highest will overshadow you. That's an external effect, is that not? Outside, will overshadow you. So there is that influence of the Spirit that is on the outside, and there is the influence of the Spirit that is on the inside. So that when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, because he lives inside of you, he is the one that empowers you to live the Christian life. You cannot be a very effective Christian without following the leading of the Spirit. That's where I'm going today. Following the leading of the Spirit. Not just having the indwelling. You can have the indwelling Holy Spirit and yet not live an effective Christian life. Because many of the times we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, but we deny him the privilege to lead. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. He wants to determine how you move. He wants to determine how you go about your life. How you communicate with people, how you relate with people, the decisions that you make. And that's why the Bible says in the book of John that as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. How do we know those who are the sons of God? They allow themselves to be led by the Spirit. Because there are many voices on the face of the planet Earth desiring to lead you. There are many voices contending for your attention. There are many voices contending to take control and take charge of your life. But you must give the right and the wheels to the Holy Spirit so that he can direct your life. And I guarantee you, that is the only way you can find true fulfillment and please God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here today? So that's what I'm going to be talking in this light today. God's word commands the believer to walk in the Spirit. When the Bible says walk in the Spirit, at other times you read the scripture, it says walk by faith. Another time you read the scripture, it says work in love. So of the various things that the word of God commands us to walk in, one of them is walk in the Spirit. Another one, it says walk by faith. Another time it says walk in love. And I mean, of course, you will find many others, but these three paramount. Now he says, when you walk in love, if you are not walking in love, rather, if you are not walking in love, he says you don't know God. That's what he says. If you are not walking in love, you don't know God. You cannot claim to know God and not walk in love, because God is what? Love. He says, if you do not walk by faith, you cannot please God. The reason is because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligent. So the first step to pleasing God is to believe that he is. And that's why in today's world, where many voices are trying to tell us, how do we just believe? No, fact over faith. You know, it's becoming a popular thing right now. Fact over faith. I don't know if you've been observing things. People are saying, talk to us factual things. What we can handle, what we can see, what we can relate with. Don't tell us faith. Faith, you are trying to block our minds from reasoning. Faith does not block reasoning, but faith supersedes reasoning. Reasoning is such that God wants us to reason. But when God wants to beat our reason, he calls us to faith. Because in walking with God, there is a dimension of the supernatural that cannot be explained. And the only way you can get that dimension of the supernatural is to act by faith. Trying to calculate it logically, you will not be able to. And that is why Christianity is called faith itself. There are people of the faith, people of the way. Are we here together? Then the one I'm talking about today is walking in the Spirit. This is the sign that the new life is not controlled by the flesh. When you start walking in the Spirit, it's a sign that your new life is not controlled by the flesh or your senses, but by the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the compass that lives inside the believer today. A compass is, some of us that did a little bit of mathematics in school, you have this stuff that is supposed to be your masset. And inside the masset, you have various kinds of rulers. Is that not? You have different kinds of rulers. Then you have the compass. Now, the compass helps you with getting angles. Is that not? You want to trace a particular angle so that you get the right direction to strike your line. The compass will help you. The Holy Spirit is that compass. There is another thing called the compass inside the ship that helps the sailor while sailing. That helps them pick and determine, locate direction so that the sailor will not go amiss. Even those who fly the airplane, they need to follow a particular path. They need to know that. Have you observed that when planes fly, they don't just go like this everywhere? Even right there in the sky, there is a path. And that's why when it is very rainy or the weather is not so fine, the pilot would have announced to us that the regular path we're supposed to pass, there will be a little bit of delay because he's not getting direction on that path. So sometimes he tries to navigate another path. In that, he has to be careful. He has to be slow because it's not the regular path. So what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you as a believer, he wants to help you navigate the path of life. The Bible says that in his presence is the fullness of joy. In his right hand, the pleasures forevermore. But he will show me the path of life. He will show me the path of life. There are many things you've been doing before. The life you have been living before. And that's why when he called you out of the life that you have been living before, he's calling you to his own kind of life. And you cannot live his life by yourself. He will have to teach you the way of the Spirit. Child of God, listen, there is something called the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit is different from the way of man. The way of man is full of greed. And that's why sometimes men will be saying, react. The Spirit is saying, forgive. That's the way of the Spirit. It's different. Men are saying, act in pride. The Spirit is saying, submit yourself. It sounds very foolish. Why would you ask me, tell me to do this when I'm supposed to do that? Because the way of man is not the way of the Spirit. And the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. What that means is that you want to act out in a particular manner to help God. But God is saying, you cannot help me. your wrath in this situation cannot work out my righteousness. Because in an attempt to help, like Uzzah wanted to help the Ark of the Covenant, you might even get yourself wrong in the wrong direction. So allow me to take the lead. You want to make decisions about your career? Allow me to take the lead. You want to make decisions about your academics? Allow me to take the lead. You want to make decisions about your marriage? Allow me to take the lead. You want to make decisions about your business? Allow me to take the lead. Now God is saying, I am interested in every area of your life so that I can tell what you are supposed to do part time, that 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years after, you will still find peace. Because he will keep in perfect peace those whose heart is stayed on him. So you must be with him. Am I communicating tonight? So just follow me carefully so that I'll be able to show us a few things. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 to 21. Whether it is victory over the flesh or true fulfillment in life, being able to get clarity, direction, a sense of purpose, whatever it is, you must be willing to submit and walk in the Spirit. Walk according to the direction and the leading of the Spirit. Look at what it says here. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Very simple. In other words, the reason why you fulfill the lust of the flesh is because you are not walking in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hello, are we here together? Are you sure you understand what I'm saying here? Now, there are two parts. This is part one, flesh. Then this is another path to follow, Spirit. At the end of this path is fulfillment and joy. At the end of this path is lust and destruction. This path is called the path of the Spirit. This path is called the path of the flesh. It says if you walk in the path of the flesh, there are certain signs and the things that will be seen around your life. And number one, he said, we're going to be seeing, go ahead, let's go, continue. He says, for the flesh lust against the Spirit. So two of them are on this side. Are we here together? Two on that side. Come up. Let's do this together. So you stand on that side. So that's the Spirit. Let me be the flesh. But I'm not the flesh. So, from this standpoint where he is, there are certain things that we see in his life and we can tell that he's walking in the Spirit. Then where I am also, if I choose this place, there are certain things that my life will naturally produce, and those things, they are called the works of the flesh. This one's the works of the Spirit. Are we here together now? So the Bible says that the flesh lusts after the Spirit. In other words, every time you want to do the things of the Spirit, the flesh will not want you to do it. Are we here together now? Because there is a battle going on, and Satan is actively fighting so that you will stay in the flesh. But Jesus has come and has dethroned sin. And sin is a dethroned monarch. So that now I have the liberty to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. But Satan still doesn't want it. Because if you do this, righteousness, peace, and joy is what you will get in the Holy Ghost. Are we here together? But if you follow this, pain, regrets, and destruction at the end. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is what? Destruction. But I will show you the path of life. In my presence there is fullness of what? Joy. At my right hand there are what? Pleasures forevermore. That's what you get on this path. So let's move. It says, and these are contrary one to another, so you do not do the things that you wish. So because he is wishing to do certain things, he has a wish to live a very good Christian life. He has a wish to be a very nice guy in God. He has a wish to live in peace with all his neighbors. He has a wish not to manifest wrath and bitterness and anger. He has a wish not to commit the sins of the flesh. That's what he wants. In this place, it is natural for us to do that. It's our nature. Now, he used to be here, but he has put on the new man. But now that he has put on the new man that is recreated in Christ Jesus, Satan is still fighting. Remember, be sober, be vigilant, for the devil, your adversary, is going about like a roaring lion, seeking for who to do what? Devour. But the Bible says he has to resist Satan steadfastly in the face. Is that not? Now, the Bible says, in fact, instead of dragging this direction, let me put you on a rail track. The rail track is called the Spirit. Just walk in this rail track, And as soon as you are in this rail track, you will not derail. If you leave your track, you will start manifesting the tendencies here and you will end up here. So, as I read, it will be easy for you to understand now. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under what? The law. Not now, the works of the flesh are evident. Where I am, all the things you see in our path. It says, those who walk in this place where I am walking, they will naturally commit what? Adultery. They will commit what? Fornication. They will be what? Unclean. Uncleanness here has to do with dirty habits, pornography. Uncleanness has to do with every other act that is dirty. Everything dirty. That's what it is. Then lewdness, part of it. They're still the same way. Then idolatry. If you walk here, you'll be tempted to patronize the gods that your fathers served, that God has taken us out from. And that's another thing opening up in Africa today, where certain people are advising people to go back to the gods of their fathers. It's becoming very common. Go back. Christianity has deceived you. They lied to you. Go back and worship Satan and enjoy yourself. Where we were before, and in their ignorance, they were killing twins. Where we were before, and as a result of the life we lived in that place, we were slaves to the gods that our fathers served. We are afraid. We are living in a state where we are not sure what our lives will look like. They can strike us. Ahmad Young and his elder brothers and younger brothers can attack us. Now we have found Christ, and he said he loves us. He has forgiven us our sins, that we should walk and follow him. Now you say we should go back. Go and wake all your grandfathers to go back. Those of us in this generation that have found light will not go back. Whoever puts his hand on the plow and turns back is not worthy. Are we here together? So, whoever walks in this place, sorcery. Next ones will go and start looking for one prophet or the other to see something for me. See something for me. That's sorcery. Witchcraft, sorcery. Hatred. Hatred is the natural part. Here, on this track, hatred is natural. You can see somebody doing something that, you know, you would have loved to do, but they are the ones doing it. And instead of celebrating and supporting them, you hate them. Hatred is natural here. You can hate your brother, hate your sister. You know, we have families where the fight is so much that brothers and sisters can kill. I told you about a brother, two brothers that traveled to the village, and one hit his brother on the head and he died. They were quarreling for their father's property, about their brother's property, and he hit his brother on the head and died. And the wife had, you know, a baby, their first child. In fact, they are just about to do that. They are just about to do the traditional wedding, and they went to argue property, land in the village, and died. Hatred. The same thing Cain and Abel. You see what happened to them. That's what happens here. Then outburst of wrath, selfishness. Outburst of wrath, of course, unnecessary anger that can lead to any of those things. Then selfishness, selfish ambition. In this place, what you see people do is that they want to do things that will glorify them. Self-glory. I want to be seen. I want to be known. I want to be announced. Whether it's God's time or not, they forget about time. Just put me on the dashboard. Let everybody see me. That's what happens here. Then the next thing here is dissensions. That's division. This one's the like quarrels, division. Anytime people are together, they don't enjoy it. Let's scatter. Let there be division. Let the people not always be together. Then heresies. Now this is the line where some people who are even men of God can start working here, and they'll start teaching heresies. Start teaching false things. Start teaching very strange things. All these things, the Bible says they are the work of the flesh. Envy is there. Murder is there. Drunkenness is there. Rivalry is there. It says, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things, they will not do what? So they are eventually going to end up where? In a ditch. Hell. Then on this other side, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. In this place, the Holy Spirit begins to teach you. You know why? It is not his nature to love. So he has love inside, but he has to learn how to turn it on. Because by nature, we were all subjects to this other life. So when you get born again and you come here, you have to start training yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying here? You have to open up your heart, and there will be a willingness by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit even deposits the love inside of you and say, you don't have to manufacture love. Love is inside of you. Just do what? Turn it on. So because you have a will and you're a human being, you can decide whether to turn it on or turn it off. Are we here together? But it says if you are on this path, just know that love, you have the ability to love. It's inside of you. Just as this natural man does not need extra energy to live in fornication and commit anything, he doesn't need it. It's his nature. That is how we have planted it here. But because here you have been planted into now, you are growing. You have to grow to know what is inside of you. Acknowledging of the good things that already exist inside of you in Christ Jesus. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? So it is already there, but I have to learn how to do what? Turn it on. So naturally, when this guy walks this path, he will be learning how to do what? Love. Joy is a natural flow here. Peace is a natural flow here. Long suffering, that means he can bear long. Even when things are tough and hard, he can still bear long until he gets through the process. It's a natural thing here. Kindness is very natural here. Goodness is very natural here. Faithfulness, that means somebody who says they are going to do a particular thing and they will stay on it. The word faithfulness here has to do with not just faith as in believing, but continue believing, to stay on. Faithfulness. Are we here together now? Then gentleness is a natural thing here. Gentleness is natural. And I said that gentleness doesn't mean you are quiet by temperament. It's not introvert or extrovert thing. Do we understand? Self-control. On this path, you are taught how to restrain yourself from inside. And I shared with you over again in recent times that the word there is engratia. That is to hold yourself from inside. So somebody does something and you're supposed to flare up, like the normal life here is outburst. Rage. But on this path, you are not going to act like that. You will hold yourself from inside. On this path, the natural thing is that when the spirit of lust reacts or gets the seduction, you act in fornication. But on this path, you hold yourself from inside. There is grace to hold yourself. That's why I said there is grace to hold yourself from inside. The fruits of this recreated life is what I'm explaining to you here. Are we here together, church? Am I making sense here? Then the next thing you see there is what? It says, against such there is no law. Then it says what? Verse 24. And those who are Christ, those who are Christ, that's what the answer now. See, those who are on this lane, they belong to Christ. And he said, those who are Christ, the reason why they live like this is because they have crucified the flesh with its passion. See the flesh. This one here. They have nailed it. They have killed it. All of his desires. They are no longer longing to live like this. They don't have the desire to live like this. Their affection is now set on this part. And because their affection is set on this part, it says that those who are Christ, listen, there is an assignment. They have crucified. In other words, the desire to want to do this thing will want to rise, but they will set their affection. Satan will want to tempt them to come to this side, but they will say, no, I set my affection. Why? They have crucified the flesh with its what? Passion and desire. They crucified the flesh with his longings and all of his desires. He now says, if we live in the spirit, where he's living right now, face there. If we live in the spirit, he said, let us also do what? Walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. Because if he's walking in the spirit, joy, peace, self-control. Walking in the spirit simply means following the direction of the spirit. Walking in the flesh simply means following the direction of the flesh. Do we understand what I'm saying? So all the manifestations I showed you here, when somebody is walking in the flesh, that's what they do. The ones I just mentioned here, when somebody is walking in the spirit, that's what they do. So I want to teach you how you can come to spiritual maturity and be able to walk in the spirit without stress. It will not be something you're struggling to. You will not be carrying the cross of Jesus. Listen now. You will not be carrying the cross of Jesus as a burden. You'll be carrying it as a privilege. Did you get what I just said? Christianity will not be a yoke and a burden. You will count yourself worthy to be part of those that they have given your cross to carry. Because at the end of the tunnel, carrying this cross is face to face with Jesus. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Thank you very much. God bless you. You can have your seat. Glory to God. So verse 25 and 26, then 26 says what there now? 26. He said, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Glory to God. So we live in an age where the activities of the soul are confused with the impressions of the spirit. The activities of the soul, they are largely confused with the impression of the spirit. That means there are many things. You know your soul, a man is a spirit, he has a soul and lives in the body. Is that not? We need another illustration on this one. Come again. Come again. You are. So, Pastor Ben, now show. Let's balance it like this. So we have these three now. Remember, you face here. Both of you just normal. You stand here. Face, exactly. So remember the illustration we gave the other time. That's flesh on this side. Is that not? And spirit on that side. But now there is, I just said something. And I said that we live in a world where the activities of the soul are in direct conflicts, so that people find it difficult to discern the voice that they are hearing, whether it is from my soul or from my spirit. Are we here together now? Now, that leads me to explaining to us that man is tripartite in nature. That means man has is a spirit, he has a soul, and lives in a body. Some Christians say man is spirit and soul together, then body, whichever way. But in the Bible, we can see that it is clear that many times they separated. He said, let the Lord God sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. We have seen that in scripture. And comparing the nature of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we can conclude to say that God was reworking his nature in man, trying to show a picture of the eternal Godhead in man. Is there any confusion in what I'm saying today? Is it complex? No, it's very simple. This elementary Christian teaching. So, this is just one man. Three of us standing here now. It's not three, it's one. That is the spirit, the soul, and this is the body. I am the face that people see. But this face that people see, there are certain things inside that give direction and voice to this face that is acting. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here now? So this face that you see acting here is not the one that is really, really acting. There are directions, instructions, like codes. What you see on your computer screen is not there because it wants to be there by itself. It is there because something has been, you know, pressed, or somebody has typed in something to the system, and there are certain codes inside that have said that if I press this button, what you will see is G. If I press Control, Alternate, Delete, what you will see is whatever. They are codings, is that not? So if this guy acts in anger, something from somewhere here has directed that anger. He did not act in anger just because anger is just flowing like a river. No, there is a code. Something has instructed that. Now, on this side, he wants to walk in the spirit. On this side, the flesh is still trying to direct the soul on how it should go. But you know, the soul is undergoing the process of salvation, is that not? The spirit man is the one that has encountered Jesus completely. Are we here together? Recreated. Are we here together now? Very good. So, because this man is like this, there is noise on the outside. The noise for his attention. The noise to do like this. The noise to live like this. The noise to act like this. So all this noise from the outside usually disturbs this guy who is the showman. But whatever this one submits to, that is what this one will manifest. As a believer, we should not be getting our instruction again from here. Because this guy, as it is right now, he has a lot of work to be done. He is undergoing a process of renewal. But this other guy is influenced by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is teaching this one the way that we should go. So we are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit that is leading our spirits. Not led by the devil and flesh that is trying to have influence over our soul. It cannot influence our spirit, because the Holy Spirit, he that is joined to the Lord, is one spirit. So this is where he has access to. So this one is trying to say, steal. This one is saying, you cannot steal because you are inhuman. Then this guy is torn in between decisions, whether to steal or not to steal. Because the spirit, the recreated, is saying, you can't steal. The unregenerated is saying, you need to help yourself. Who will give you money now? The only option you have is to do what? Steal. So we live in a world where the fight is so serious. So Paul said, the things that I want to do, I cannot do. The things that I do not want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. So I discovered that in my member, there is a war going on. there is a war. And because I am a being of choice, I have what it takes to make choice, to choose the things that I want. Are we getting what I'm saying here right now? I am torn in between decisions. Anytime you choose what this guy has said, it is a sign that you walked in the flesh. Anytime you choose what this one, the Holy Spirit has said, it is a sign that you did what? You walked in the Spirit. You always want to walk in the Spirit, but the flesh is always fighting. Whichever one you feed amongst both of them will determine the one that is stronger per time, and the one that will determine the direction of your life. So if you feed your flesh, hey church, are you here with me? Is everybody getting what I'm saying here now? Everything that feeds your flesh puts you on the direction of the works of the flesh. And everything that feeds your spirit puts you on the direction of the works of the Spirit. The question we now ask ourselves is that, why am I doing the things I do not want to do? It's simple. You are feeding the flesh. And because you are feeding the flesh has the upper hand, and the flesh can tell the Spirit, guy, calm down. And it will be taking the lead. The Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. He doesn't force. He doesn't pressure. He doesn't push. He leads in a very subtle, sweet manner. And that's the reason why he gives you the right to make decisions. If you say this is where you want to go, he has told you the end. But as many as are led by the Spirit, these ones are the sons of God. Does it make any sense to us? Go back to your seats. I'll explain a few things. So the question is, how do we know if it is our soul, our mind that is leading, or the Spirit? Many people are quick to say, oh, the Spirit of God told me this. The Spirit of God is telling me this. You have to be sure who you're talking about. You have to be sure. You cannot be walking in the flesh 80% of the time and come to tell me that tomorrow morning that the Spirit of God is one leading you. No. Higher probability exists that it is still the same flesh that is leading you. Because whoever you have been yielding yourself servant to obey most of the time is the person's slave that you are. Does anybody get what I just said right now? If this person has always been acting in the flesh, somebody comes and says, ah, sir, I had a dream, and my dream always comes to pass. And anytime I have a dream, it always happens. I'll say, okay. Then the person explains that for some time I've not really been serious in my work with God, or I've not been praying, no, I've not been fasting, no, I've just been there. As a matter of fact, me and my boyfriend said, I'm just contemplating. We have been living together past 2 years. Your dream does not have any sense. You know why it's useless? Because you live in the flesh, and every expression of your life will be in the flesh. So that even if God is speaking, you will need somebody to help you understand what he's saying. But if this person has been walking in the Spirit, and he has been making the right decisions already, and has been doing things, and at a point, something is about to happen and it's not very clear. If the person speaks, the chances that the person is being led by the Spirit is higher. Because as always, he or she has been following the dictates of the Spirit. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Are you sure you understand what I'm saying this evening? So when people come around and they say every small thing, you can also be led by this. You can also be at a place where you are always led by the Spirit. But because a decision is about to be made and you have an emotional attachment to the answer and what you want, Satan takes advantage of that and he will have an upper hand over your spirit. Your desire for control, your pride will be at stake. Your honor, you seem like you will lose it if that decision is made like this. Again, instead of submitting to the Holy Spirit and follow that path that looks foolish, you would rather want to have control. So the decision you make most likely will be wrong. Because something is at stake and you do not want to fall your hand. And in falling your hand, the power of God will be made manifest. But you want to hold your hand. I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense. So holding your hand, you eventually follow the flesh. Then you do what people expect. They say, hey, that's what I expect somebody like you to do now. Nobody should try that kind of thing. Say, yes, yes, yes. If you had done like this, they would have said, very stupid thing you did. Oh, hey, you would have felt ashamed. But in your shame, his strength is made manifest. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? So Satan takes advantage of that. I'm going to explain a few things tonight so that will help you. So many people are quick to say the Spirit was leading me, whereas it is the impulse of their soul and their selfish desires. As long as the war keeps raging and we are unwilling to yield and submit, that's the answer. Write it down, two of them. Yield and submit to the Spirit. You will always have a stronger and clearer voice. The flesh will always have a stronger and clearer voice. Your soul will always have a stronger and clearer voice that can be mistaken for the leading of the Spirit. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. They that belong to Christ, they have what? They have crucified the flesh. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here? Is it making sense to you tonight? They that are Christ, they have done what? They have crucified the flesh. That means they don't have anything to benefit here again. So whatever it is God is saying on this side, that's where they are. He said, I don't know if it's my spirit that is talking or my flesh. I don't know if it's my mind or God. That's what I want to clear for you today. Are we here together? Are you sure you understand what I'm saying here? Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 2. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 2. Let's read 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Because in this other line I showed you, everything here, they are on the earth. In that other line I showed you, they are what? They are above. If you seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says the way you can do that is that you will set your affection. Because your problem is your mind. Your problem is your what? Your mind. The battlefield of the mind. There is a serious battle raging every day in your mind. The battle of relevance. The battle to control things. The battle to take charge. The battle to show people. The battle to say, I have arrived. That battle is strong, raging in your mind. But the Bible says, no, you must set your mind on things above and not on things where? On earth. Because it is in your own place. You are the one that will say, I am setting my mind. I am positioning myself in the path of the Spirit. I set my mind on joy. I set my mind on peace. I set my mind on love. I set my mind on self-control. I set my mind on patience. I set my mind on self-control. If my mind is set on self-control, when temptation comes, what comes to my mind will be what? Self-control. If my mind is set on gratification of a little pleasure, when temptation comes, what comes to my mind is what? Little pleasure. Wherever you set your mind, that's where your answer will be. So the battle rages here. If my mind is set on revenge, whenever the temptation comes and something happens, the natural thing to do is to do what? Revenge. If my mind is set on forgiveness, whenever something happens, the natural thing to do is what? Forgive. It might be painful, but I have set my mind. Am I communicating, church? Is anybody getting what I'm sharing here tonight? Yes. So you set your affection. Walking according to the Spirit is not just a mere decision to follow God. It is a mind path that requires renunciation of your flesh cravings. You renounce the cravings of the flesh. All those things that we see on this path that I mentioned, you renounce it. You renounce it intentionally. You say to yourself, I don't belong here anymore. They that are Christ, they have crucified the flesh. Crucifying the flesh means that you renounce the action of the flesh. You are telling the flesh that this thing that you are doing, I have no part in it. I am not participating with you in this action anymore. I have chosen a higher path. I have chosen a glorious life. I have chosen the path of peace. I want a life that is fulfilling and rewarding. I don't want a life of regret at the end of the day. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here again tonight? So walking according to the flesh is not just a mere decision to follow God. It is a mind path that requires renunciation of your fleshy cravings and constant watch to ensure your soul's selfish desire does not interfere or override the leadership of the Spirit. The selfish desire of your soul does not override. The selfish desire to make people see you does not override the leading of the Holy Spirit to hide you for a while. Because He wants to hide you for a while. But people will be asking you, where have you been now? We're no longer seeing you again. So the desire to be seen can make you make decisions to do the things that God is not asking you to do. Instead of allowing the Holy Spirit, who wants to hide you for a while, and say, though I am hidden for a while, my rising will be like the brightness of the sun. in all things, he makes everything beautiful in his time. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Are you sure you understand what I'm trying to say here right now? So you are willing to follow the direction of the Spirit instead of following the flesh, because the flesh wants to lead you in the wrong path, but you decide to yield to the Spirit. Sometimes we are tempted to believe that if we confess words, maybe something like somebody's confessing and saying, oh, sin is a dethroned monarch, I have victory over the flesh, that is enough. That is not enough. That is just a starting point. It is good to confess, but your confession must be based on a revelation that you have set your affection on the things of God. Your confession, that's why many people confess and they still confess again. You understand what I'm saying? They confess and they confess. They make confessions and they will still fall and start crying and making confession again. And say, God, God. Why? Their confession is not from a place of revelation. Their confession is a place maybe they heard other believers. And it sounds very cliche. It sounds very sweet. Hey, sin is a dethroner. I have reign over the flesh. Oh, I can do all things. We know that that's what the Bible says. But do you know? There is a knowing that supersedes the knowing of what came from the mouth of somebody. It is a knowing that is in connection with partnership with the Holy Spirit. That he has given me the ability. Therefore, I know that I can do all things. So when I say it, I'm not saying it because my neighbor said it. I'm saying it because I am convinced that in him, he has bore witness with my spirit that I can do all things. It's not based on my feelings. It's based on what he has said and what God has concluded. Does anybody get what I'm saying here tonight? Are you getting what I'm saying here tonight? Yes. So words are not enough to just say those kind of things. There must be a conviction. Do you have a very active working relationship with the Holy Spirit? That's what determines whether you can walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit when you have off and on relationship with the Holy Spirit. No, it won't work. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you must have an active walking relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why? The person who is leading you, if you have not been walking with him since, how do you expect him to lead you in the day of temptation? In the day of temptation, he will be there because he has been there all the while. But if he has not been the one leading you and the flesh has been leading, in the day of temptation, you will go the direction of the flesh. So who's leading your life? Who are you following? Whose voice do you listen to more? The voice that you listen to more will determine the voice that will be louder and clearer in the day of pressure and temptation. So pressure and temptation is not something that just hits you all of a sudden. No! If I've been listening to the voice of scriptures, if I've been listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the day I am tempted, I'll be hearing the word of God. I'll be hearing the voice of God. But if I've not been listening to the voice of God, I've not been reading my Bible, and I've not been caring about the things of God, the day of temptation, the voice of the devil will be so clear as if it's your neighbor's voice that you know so much. And you'll be following it. Are we here together? So if you are not having a working relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you don't have it, if you are not certain, things will begin to determine your decisions. And some of the things, four things that will determine your decision. Number one, social expectations. Social expectations will begin to determine your decisions. Social expectations begin to determine your decisions. When God's voice is absent or faint in your life, what others think will become your primary guide. What others think. You start making decisions to gain the approval of people. You start making decisions to impress your family members. You start making decisions to impress your friends and your social media followers. You want to post a particular thing God laid in your heart. But if you post it, you might lose 1,000 followers that day. Then you say, oh no, God, forget. Let's just continue like this. Because if we post this thing, there will be a problem. Your fear of losing followers, you now withdraw that thing. And God is saying, I don't understand what you guys are doing. What exactly are you doing? Are you here to impress your followers or to feed them with the truth that they need? Not knowing that in the plan and the agenda of God, it is possible that when 1,000 followers leaves, in 3 months' time, it might be 1,000, it might be 150,000 followers for the new light that God is bringing your direction. Why are we afraid? Because we don't trust him. It is so bad. Societal expectation. I don't know what my sister will say. So you want to make decision concerning marriage. You are considering your brother and your sister, what they will think, as against what God is thinking. You are considering how your mother will feel. Is it your mother that will marry for you? You are considering how your sister will feel. Is it your sister that will make decisions for you? Now how about the Holy Spirit? Have you considered how he will feel? Because he can be grieved. He can tell you to do A and you do B, and he is grieved about it. And if the foundation will be destroyed, I'm not sure the other path will be correct. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here? So we must learn to follow and avoid societal expectations, social expectations. Don't worry about the social norm, that this is what the standard of the world is. Hey, we are not of the world. The Bible says we are not of the world. You must know that. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. It doesn't matter what the world says. What matters is what the Word of God says. Do you know how many times people who are supposed to have walked out of certain, you know, deals and things, they are afraid of walking out because of what they think their neighbors, their family members, probably, people would have said, and we have already done these things. So why do we have to? Hey, listen. A Christian is like a soldier. Obey the last command. When the Holy Spirit is speaking, listen. You follow him. You know why? He has seen the end of your life from the beginning, and he knows the end. And you can never manage your life better than the Holy Spirit. Hello, listen. Leave Instagram. Just listen to me now. Leave Instagram. You cannot manage your life better than the Holy Spirit. You will never be able to. If you are given opportunity to come back to this world 1,000,000 times, you can never manage your life better. If they give you opportunity, see, if you have to die and come back 50 times, you can never manage your life better. So this life that you have that is one, just hand it over to him. Number two, that will determine your decision. Number one, I say, is what? Social expectation. Number two is immediate results that the world demands. Immediate result that the world demands. The world values speed over process. They value speed over process. That's the standard of the world. Speed over process. If you're not working with God, you'll be tempted to compromise. You want to cut corners, pursue quick success, ignore God's timing and training, and you fail to realize that God's timing and training is what gives you stamina for the quality of life that he wants to build. And every time you cut corners, you have no foundation to build on. And no matter how you try to build upon it, everything will collapse. Why? Because immediate results that the world demands. That if they are waiting now, the way it's going like this, I don't even know what is happening. If I don't marry at 25, now everybody will be looking at me. Are you confused? Did they write 25 as the target of marriage age in heaven? That is what the world demands. Whoever sets the standard of the age where people should marry? Sometimes people come to the office today, and when I see the pressure they're having about relationship, how old are you? I'm 24, so I'm 25 already. Already. And I'm like, I don't understand. What is already? I'm 25 already. So because of that, even when God has not spoken, but what people are saying is that when you get to this stage, my mommy, my daddy, I'm under pressure. I have to just do something because the way they are pursuing me. Hey, the immediate results that the world demands can be your greatest undoing. And that's the reason why a man who is led by the Spirit, you don't follow what the people of the world say. I've told you that I've told you that our life as individuals differ. It might be given for this man to have grace to marry at 23, and he will get married and have a beautiful marriage. If this other man tries it at 23, by the time he gets to 29, the marriage will crash. The stamina that the Holy Ghost wants to build in this one, it will take him extra 3 years to build it, and he will get to 26 before he will release him for marriage. The stamina that he's building in this one yielded early enough at 19, and the stamina was even built at 21, 20. And at 23, the Holy Spirit says he's set. Then this one is saying, somebody at my younger brother's age has married. They look at me. And the Holy Spirit says, you don't know what you're saying. We don't walk by that age. The age of the Spirit is not the age in the physical. The age of the Spirit is in the qualification of your process. It is your process that determines how old you are in the Spirit, not the human calendar. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? Have you passed your process? Do you know what it takes to have that kind of life? Oh, that person is now handling millions. I don't know what. Continue in your process. God might be working out something in you that the other person doesn't even have. And the person might even have it because he's working with God all the while too. So don't ever envy another person, or else you'll be hearing the voice of your soul. You'll not be hearing the voice of the Spirit. You'll be hearing the distractions of the world. You'll not be hearing the leading of the Spirit. And as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So the determinant of who I listen to is not societal expectation. It's not social expectation. It's not immediate result that the world demands. If it doesn't pay now, that's what the world is saying. If it doesn't pay now, it's not worth it. If it doesn't pay now, it's not worth it. But God is saying, be still and know that I am God. Am I helping somebody here tonight? I had a witness in my spirit when I was preparing for today that God has decided to settle the questions in the heart of people. And every question in your heart will receive clear answers. See, the answers that I'm telling you, you will not need to ask any other person. You don't need it. If you were planning to see me for counseling before, you don't need counsel again. It has been answered. That's the kind of answer I'm giving you tonight. You will not need any further counsel. Do you know that there's a level of work that you have with God? Eh? Many of us, the reason why you always need counseling on everything, is counseling okay? Yes. Is it the way of God? Yes. Is it in scripture? Yes. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth is confirmed. But some of us, you need to walk with God to the point where when he says a thing, counsel or no counsel, you are sure he has said it. It's relationship. There's a level of work with God that you don't even need counsel to prove what he has said. You take action because you know that it's God. The reason why many of us are seeking counsel is because we are not sure whether it is God or the flesh. We are not coming the counsel as confirmation. You are coming for the counsel as I don't know what it be. In fact, some of us are not coming for counsel. It is that meeting that determines what it is, because you didn't have anything in your heart from the one self. Are we here together? Number three, the rush to define purpose. I say there are certain things that will determine how you make decisions. Number one, social expectation. Number two, immediate results that the world demands. Then number three, the rush to define purpose. Now listen, without divine clarity, you will feel pressure. Pressure to find purpose by yourself. How many of you have been there where everybody has purpose? You are the only one that doesn't have purpose. Especially in church like Potter's, everybody get purpose. They don't get purpose, finish. You know, there are some places where they don't talk about purpose. So, because they don't discuss it, everybody's fine. But when you come to a church like this where we talk about purpose, everybody wants to have purpose. So even when the Holy Spirit is not willing to unveil your purpose to you, you want it, so you create one. So that the next time they ask and say, please, what's your purpose? Say, my purpose, you don't give us handwritten, systematic. My purpose is to redefine the defined in the privileged society of the refined, different. Oh, God, it is purposelessness. I see you. Can I shock you in the journey of purpose that not everybody will be able to discover their purpose at the same time? Somebody's purpose can be clear at 9, and another person's purpose can take 19. Somebody's purpose can be clear at 19. The other person's purpose becomes real at 35. Sir, you need to come to understand God and his dealings. That his unique specific purpose is not in your hand to fashion. His general purpose must be the place where you sit first. Then in the journey of journeying with him in the general purpose, it begins to lead you on a straight path. But many people want that straight path because everybody has written their own on the straight path. And whenever we tell them that the purpose of the believer is to make Christ known and let your life be a servant for the whole world, they are ashamed of saying it because they will say that's general purpose. Yes, as at now, that is the general purpose I can explain. Can I say this thing to sound somehow? I won't say it so that I don't make some people lazy. For some of you, the purpose of your life will never be clear until you enter marriage. Wait. You know why I didn't want to say it? Some people will be lazy and they will begin to put all their life towards marriage. But wait, let me make it clear. There are certain people, the person who is carrying the second half of the clarity of your life. Let me explain to you. If the person doesn't show up, your life will not be clear. Does it mean, listen. Does it mean you will not be doing anything? No. You will still be busy within the confine of the general purpose of the believer and the saint. Because that general purpose of the believer and the saint is the half that that person is looking for. In his eyes, you have purpose. In your own eyes, you don't have purpose. Because the purpose that he sees is a woman that fears the Lord. You don't understand what I'm saying here. So as soon as he sees that, he's seeing a person of purpose. But when they are discussing with you, you are afraid of saying it. Because that thing you say, that the purpose of my life is to make Christ known, and I'm a devoted member to follow Jesus Christ passionately, to get people to say, it will sound to you as a foolish or guy, and everybody in the church is like that. That is what he prayed about. That the day he hears a woman say that, he has seen the partner. But because you are afraid, you want to impress people, then you have to join everybody and say, the purpose of my life is I'm trying to do Serac Beauty something something foundation. The man has said in his heart that as soon as a person has something else, he cannot match. The person must be coming with only God, because God has already given him the name of his own foundation, and both of you have to merge it. You need to know how these things work, or else you just join everybody to have a name that will kick you out of your plan. If God has not given you a name, don't give any name. Stay where it is. Somebody coming with you might have the name, and that your trial and error name will be a waste. So why not just wait? I'll show you a principle here before I close this service tonight. Are you ready? Are you listening to me tonight? The leading of the Spirit. Number three is incessant struggle to meet standards not established by God. These standards can be societal, religious, or self-imposed. They are not God's yoke. You wear yourself out trying to be enough in the eyes of people, whereas God has never called you to strive to be enough in anybody's eyes. God is calling you to walk with him by faith. But because you want to be something in the eyes of somebody, you want to be something big in the eyes of people, and because sometimes some of us are not able to see well, we begin to force people into what God has not called them to. Don't force yourself. Anything you are not very... I'll show you how to get the clarity. I still have little time before I wrap up today. So the pressure from the world and the expectation, selfish ambition, are not silent. They are heavy in your mind. That is why you want to do what everybody is saying. They are heavy in your mind. That's why you want to do what your neighbor is doing. They are heavy. That's why you want to copy what A is doing. So A is copying B, B is copying C. Too much copycats. Nothing is... Many people are doing simply things that God has never put in their heart to do. They are doing it because that is the expectation of those around them. If I don't do anything, they will say I am idle. So let me find something to do. And while some of them are finding something doing, they have been hanging on that thing that they have found giving themselves to do. 15 years has passed. The person that did not see anything doing and stayed with God found somebody who had something doing and saw somebody who needed to complement something. And life has moved. This one is still waiting. Who sent you? You don't give yourself work. Don't give yourself anything that God has not given to you. And the same thing with men. Sometimes the lady and the things that God has said to her, you are not looking like it. Because you are trying to impress yourself with your friends. You have picked up something that makes it uneasy for her to say, this is the person God is leading my life to. This is the person God is directing my destiny to. The same thing with business people. Sometimes you are starting a business and God is not leading your heart to diversify. Because everybody is diversifying. That thing you diversify into now becomes the hole for all your money. All your money begins to enter the hole. All your money. So all the one you make here, you put it inside the hole and it's gone. And you're wondering what's that? Because everybody is doing it. You feel you have to do it. Career people, the same thing. Do you know that in the midst of the fast changing move around the world concerning career and career switch, if you must switch career, you still have to hear the voice of God. You cannot say because everybody is doing so I have tech. They now say, which of the tech they pay money per self? Me, I get brain. My brain will carry everything. Okay, now UIUS. The next time they see you, you'll be looking like UI useless. Because you have chosen something that God has not called you to do. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here now? So you still need to seek the way. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, it said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Do you know that in the path where God has led you to, it might look small, but therein lies your greatness. If you find peace with it, stay there. Am I communicating? Yes. So the big thing, another thing I should talk about now is the affirmation of others. Write it down, affirmation of others. Even when God speaks, because it does not look like what we want or expect to hear, we consult with others to hear their words and get confirmations. As such, the things that should be left to spiritual intelligence, they become subject of debate amongst our friends. our colleagues, even mentors. Sometimes mentorship is gold, it's powerful, it's perfect. We teach it every day. But there are certain things in your life that are left to personal relationship with God. That even if you meet a genuine mentor, the person will tell you, see, on this matter, I can't advise you completely. This is the road line. This is the juncture, rather, where people decide their lives. But I can give you a general scope of advice. A, B, C, D. You see, E is left for you to decide. There must be that space in your life that nobody can feel. Only the voice of the Spirit. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters.
Wherever you will call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Some other times, it is the experience of other people. We must be careful on how we rely on the experience of others. God's leading on issues can be very different for individuals. That this person experienced it this way doesn't mean you experience it the same way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say right now? So you don't say because it works for A, B, and C like this, it will work for me exactly the same way. No, God doesn't lead like that. You are unique. You are special. There is an original assignment attached to your life. And because of that, God might be leading you on a unique path. And you can't say because this person's experience is like this, my own experience has to be like this. No! No way. Does it mean God has left me if it doesn't go the way I planned it? God has not left you. He might be taking you through a process to learn something that will be part of the qualification for a greater glory 5, 2, 3, 5 years ahead of your life. So don't say because this experience of this person is like this, it means that I have to follow the same thing. Maybe I'll get the same results. No. And that's why I've told you, always ask yourself, in every situation, God, my own blueprint. The Bible says that Moses built according to what pattern that was given to him. Do you know that all our lives have patterns? Do you know that if God has to make all of us do exactly the same thing, then God has become like one of the computer, what they call it now, photocopy machine. God is not like that. God does not imitate, God creates. He doesn't copy anything. He does originals. And because you are an original in the sight of God, everything about your life is original. Everything about his blueprint for you is original. So when we get to the roadmap of all the general principles, then you will now ask God, what is the unique specific principle? My own blueprint. Everybody is doing this particular kind of thing in ministry. Oh, what is raining right now is that people are doing house fellowship. As for the general principle, there will be a unique way that will make our own work. And I'm still praying because I know that when that unique one comes, you just cover that all the money, all the waste that you have been making all these years. You'll be asking yourself, why did I even spend all this money? He makes all things beautiful in his time. All things. All things. So you can get a wise advice from somebody, leaders, but you cannot replace personal intimacy with God that is built in these three corners. Write it. Number one, how I build this personal intimacy. Number one, the silence of listening. The silence of listening. Write it like that. Silence of listening. The times where you go to God and maybe you know, there are times where you are going for a retreat. And when you are going for a retreat, you carry a book that you want to read. You carry this. You carry that. You carry all the things that you are carrying. You already have a direction you want to hear the voice of God on. Maybe you want to hear the voice of God on things that have to do with walking in love. You want to hear the voice of God on things that have to do with forgiveness. You want to hear the voice of God on things that have to do with relationship, how to choose a partner. You buy books in that area and you go to God. Sir, there is a dimension where we go to God. We don't carry any book written by human beings. Just go with your Bible alone and with your notes. The silence of listening. And in that prayer meeting, it is a kind of meeting or encounter with God where you don't have any prayer request in your mind. Don't have any requests. You worship and worship and worship. And by the time you are done worshiping, be reading the Bible. When you finish reading the Bible, you walk and just be quiet. You know what you have done? You have moved yourself out of the noise of the city, the hustle and the bustle of all the city, and you are saying, God, speak. The reason we don't hear God many of the times is because of the distractions in our soul. There are too many distractions. There are too many things inside here, burdens, things that are just locked up. But this time around, you are not going with what you are trying to get light from anybody's writings, which God guarantees that we can use when there are specific subjects we want to seek his face on. But now you are going clearly based on this direct, sure word of prophecy, and you are reading the Bible, just studying the word of God. You will worship, you will spend protected time praying in the Holy Ghost, and you don't have requests. Then at the point, just stay. Don't worship. Don't sing. Don't talk. Stay. Don't worship. Don't sing. Don't talk. Stay. Just be walking like this. If he needs you to sing, he will drop the song by himself. It's not the one you calculated in your head. If he needs you to remember something, when you are already distracted, he will cut you off that distraction and distract your distraction. Then gradually, what he wants you to see clear, you just discover that when you took a walk today, something was boiling in your mind. When you went back, you broke your fast in the evening. As soon as you were done eating, that thing was boiling in your mind again. You woke up the next morning, you are trying to do other thing. That same issue comes in your mind again. In the place of constant repetition, he's giving you clarity. Then you know that this is what God is saying. Silent listening. Silent listening. Where you are just silent and you're listening. And it is scriptural. It's scriptural, very scriptural. He said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Many people are not still. They have many things they want to go and cry about God in the car. Oh God, I am naked. God, you know. God. I agree. There are times for that. There are times for silent listening. Just go and listen. Go and listen. Go and listen. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Is anybody going to say? I know that this generation likes to put music in your ears to distract you. Leave the music. Just listen. You most likely will be hearing the voice of the man who's singing. Remove it. Hear the voice of heaven. Hear the voice of heaven. How did our fathers hear God when they had no music? How did they hear God when they had nobody writing any book? How did they hear God when the scriptures were scattered and they didn't have anything? They stayed there. We must go back to that pattern once in a while where we just stay, read the Bible, pray, and sit down. Listen. No extra distraction. Then anything it begins to emphasize on your soul, everything it begins to bring again, everything it begins to bring again, you are beginning to get direction. Am I helping somebody already this night? Number two, in this silent listening, there is another one that you need to pay attention to. It is called the discipline of waiting. The discipline of waiting. Many people are in a hurry to come out. We hurry out whenever we're going to walk in the morning. Psh, we're out. In the evening, psh, in the morning, psh, we're out. There is the discipline that is required when you have to wait. It is scriptural. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord. There must be a waiting. Waiting upon the Lord in this kind of moments. There's a waiting that has to do with fasting and prayer and other things. But there's a waiting that has to do with giving it time. Don't decide until you give it time. Don't make a decision unsure you are giving it enough time. God created the heaven and the earth, and he knows that time heals. Time reveals. Time will show whether something is real or not. Decisions made in a haste is the sign that you don't know God. He said, if you don't do it right now, shh, I will not make noise. He said, why? The righteous does not make haste. It will pass you by. It will pass you by. God, something passed you by where God exists. Who created time? Who can rewind time? He said, it will pass me by. Nothing can pass me by. Because you're waiting in God, time is even compressed for your sake. He has something is passing you by when you are waiting. Waiting is a discipline that the believers must learn. We must learn to wait. You are crying about a particular thing and God has not said anything. Don't take action. But because you want to impress people, so you left a particular job. And by the time they relieve you of the job. Then you are there. And while you are trying to get another one, you have not seen anyone. You have not heard anything from God. No direction, no clarity. And you just tell yourself, just because people have to know that I am doing something, let me go and start doing something. That something can distract you for 15 years. Whereas you can wait for 1 month and get direction on the real thing. Wait. Learn to wait. There's a balance to this waiting and unwillingness to take any action. You must be able to know that one. Because sometimes some people are just unwilling to take action, whereas some people know that they are waiting. It is those who wait upon the Lord that will renew their strength. The other people who refuse to wait, guess what they are doing? They are running their strength. By the time those of us who have been waiting get strength, they have exhausted their strength. So they will say, how did they pass the person? He exhausted his own. My own just came. Are you getting what I'm saying here tonight? The discipline of waiting. Someone say the discipline of waiting. I can't hear you. Can you say it loud again? The discipline of waiting. Waiting is not passive. It's a spiritual muscle. It helps you gain spiritual muscle. It takes faith to pause when everything around you says move. Everybody is saying move, but you're saying pause. You say God is saying pause. Waiting on God teaches you to trust Him. Waiting on God will help you to gain maturity. Waiting on God will help you gain dependence on Him. You're not depending on yourself now, you're depending on Him. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? So you must learn how to depend on Him. In the place of waiting, you know what you learn? You learn patience in the place of waiting. Everybody is running. Everything is running. You are the only one here. And it looks as if nothing is happening in your life. But God says what? Wait. Then by the time God says move, you can't move by yourself. He's moving you. Then people are wondering that, when did she start? When did he start? It's the Holy Ghost. Why? You decided to wait and follow the leading of the Spirit. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? The last one that you have to pay attention to. The last one you have to pay attention to. Are you being blessed tonight? Yes. The refusal to act impulsively or follow a movement that is not clear to be the Spirit. Number one, I said, is what? Number one is what? The silence of listening. Number two is what? The number three, refusal to act impulsively or follow a movement that is not clear that it is the Spirit, or that is not clearly the Spirit leading you. This spiritual discernment, just because something is popular, urgent, emotionally exciting, does not mean that it is from God. A spirit-filled believer must learn to pause, test the Spirit. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, test, try all spirits, and only move when the cloud is moving. The children of Israel, guess what they will do? They are following God. Look at pillar of fire by night. Then the night expires, and it's supposed to be a pillar of cloud by day, but the cloud refuses to show. Guess what? They will not go anywhere. Fire has expired. Night. Cloud is not moving. They will stay there. Guys, why are you staying now? Move now. It's normal. Fire has expired. A season has closed, but you have not seen the opening of a new season. Stay there. You will get an instruction. If you initiate a season by yourself, you can cause the full line of your destiny to cease, and you'll not get direction. So guess what happens? The Bible says that when the children of Israel move, as they are moving, in the night, He will show a pillar of fire. Then when the cloud rises over them, God will tell them, move now. Anytime the cloud is not moving, they are sensitive enough to follow the movement. It is not moving, we are not moving. Whenever that move is happening, you hear Moses shout, let God arise. Let God arise from His hiding place and let all His enemies be scattered. No matter who is in front of them, the Bible says they heard of them and they fled. Why? Because God led them. If they move without that cloud, their enemies will kill all of them. The reason many people have died before their time, taking steps that led them to many years of delay, is moving before God's time. That everybody is moving, that everything is moving, that everybody says the best thing for you to do now is to move, because all of them can see it. But you are sure that God has not said move. Don't move. I'm teaching you things that have to do with depths of spiritual maturity. Not everybody can take this. If you are a new believer that has not started hearing God, move with others. Their hearing will cover for you. As you begin to mature, when God expects you to hear from yourself, if you move with others, it will be a distraction for Him. Let me wrap up this week. I'm going to show you some things next week. There are plenty of things I want to show us. Are you enjoying this part of this teaching? Because I want you to ask one or two questions, I'm going to stop somewhere around here so that next week we're going to continue. Don't forget the scripture that backs up what I'm just saying. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Then Jesus also told the disciples to go and tarry in the upper room to wait. And they had to wait. But it is quite unfortunate that waiting in today's world has become a sign of weakness. When you're waiting, people think that you're weak. When you're waiting, people think that you don't have sense. While spontaneous action without clear direction is celebrated as boldness. Spontaneous action without clear direction is celebrated as what? Boldness. This waiting that I am teaching, I understand. But if you are a phlegmatic, don't take my waiting the way I'm taking it. Because you have been waiting. I'm not being biased, sincerely. You know why I'm saying that? Because usually, because God knows all of us, I want to man be. God will tell them, wait. How do I speak that now? Those that will not wait, those that will always wait, God will tell them, move. Some people, when they should move, they will not move until the whole world hits their head and push them. Even if God says move, some people will not move. They still need a sign. They are like Thomas. Show me your finger. Show me the nail. Show me everything. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here? So whenever I'm teaching things like this, I like to balance it, because some people will now tell their friends, hey, I told you, that's why I'm waiting. Since you have your own is delay. It's no longer process. Don't join the band of those who celebrate people because they are quick to do something. You can encourage people who believe that it is their time to move and do something. But if you are not convinced by God about things, don't rush. It is better to hear the voice of God clearly and know what God is saying than to rush without divine guidance. I'll show you four strategic ways that God also leads. Maybe next week. Oh, next week is what? It's Easter. Okay, on Sunday we're going to talk about what next week will look like, because we're going to be in church on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we might not be in church on Monday, on Tuesday. We might not be in church on Tuesday, because we're going to be here Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So most likely midweek service will not hold next week on Tuesday. Yes, because Friday is even supposed to be supernatural. So we are looking at, is that not? Friday is supposed to be supernatural, is that not? Is that? Is it the upper one? Oh, not that one. Okay. So we'll see how it will go. Have you been blessed today? I want you to pray. I'm going to just pray a very simple prayer where you are. And say, Spirit, lead me. Very simple prayer. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. Concerning my career, concerning my marital destiny, my children, my business, my finance, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. The experience of others, for some of us under the sound of my voice, you have taken the experience of somebody else as your template. I'm scared. There are general things you can follow, but there are certain specific things you don't know. Even as you follow that person, you realize that there are some things you cannot trace. There are hidden things. Discussions that the person concluded with God in the place of silent listening, that they have not shared, and they are not in a hurry to discuss. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center. And visit our website at www.ptccenter.org God bless you.